It's been a little while since we last did this, but hopefully you haven't missed me that much, and you've had the opportunity for Hasidic lore to really sink into your bones to the point where you've embraced all the beauty of Hasidus. We are in our eighth class in this series. And it brings us, we're moving slightly north. We are in Lithuania, White Russia area. And we're going to be introduced to Rav Aharon of Karlin. Rav Aharon of Karlin, we know him because he is mentioned in one of the Maggid of Mezrich's letters. A number of people speak about the significance of Karliner Chassidus and its influence. He seems in the area of Karlin. He was a participant in a number of legal issues. We saw him as a signatory on a number of legal issues in that area. And we know from alternative texts that Karlin became an area where people would visit during Rav Aharon of Karlin's lifetime. That it was a place where people would take a where people would go. It was a destination for spiritual uplift during that period of time. Also, in terms of who we've done until now, the Karliner Hasidim still exist. Of all the Hasidim that we've done, they're Stalin Karlin, they still exist. They have a number of unique qualities. Among their qualities are that they tend to be more pro-Israel than other forms of Hasidim. They tend to be more open than other forms of Hasidus. If you ever go to a Stalin Karlin shul, be prepared. They scream during davening. That's part of it can be disconcerting the first time you hear it, but that was part of the Karliner's perspective. So the Karliner,
but they call it the cry.
They cry.
To so God, to cry.
Yeah. So the reason for it. Yeah. The reason for it is because the Rebbe would say that if you were being attacked, you would scream, right? Because you would want to be defended. So he says the entire world is like trying to pull you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you need to scream like you're being attacked. All right. Rav Aharon of Karlin, his years were 1736 to 1772, but he was not prolific. Most of the Hasidic traditions are oral. Some were written down more in depth than others. Rav Aharon of Karlin's Divrei Torah, even though I said his Tishim and his court was a destination, his Divrei Torah were not written down as much as other Rabbanim that we're going to be reading. The two things that we have from him, and both of them I brought them on the sheets in front of you. Number one is he set aside a tzava, a last will and testament. So the way I heard one of my chaverim express it is that rabbis don't really have money to give over to their children, so instead they just give a list of rules and then pieces of advice to give over to their children. So this is his last will and testament, which was published. And then the other one is a zemer that's become quite popular in many circles, called Ka Echsof. That's on the other side of the page. So we'll do one and then the other.
This was written by his son.
So there's some debate about it that I've heard recently over whether he actually wrote it or not. But the assumption amongst Hasidim is that it was written by Rav Aharon of Karlin directly.
He was very young when he died.
Oh, yes.
Like he was 36.
Yeah, 35. Yeah. That's par for the course for great Kabbalists, is they often die young.
I think Ralph Ruffner.
Rav Nachman died young. Rav Nachman died before he hit 40. Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lozato, if you go pre-Chassidus. So it's then again, you have other Rabbanim that have very long, distinguished careers. all right.
Before you start, you said before that he was involved in legal issues. Were those legal issues with the greater community or within his...
With the greater community. He was one of the rabbinic signatories, which, again, that's indication for historians that he was a significant figure, not a peripheral one. If you remember when we discussed the Baal Shem Tov, the fact that the Baal Shem Tov was a signatory on a list of rabbis was kind of indication that his reputation preceded him, that his position was more significant. And same thing with Varno Karlin, it was more significant. We've been speaking about Lithuanian, also Hasidus. We'll test this. It's more intellectual, or at least it has a reputation of being more intellectual. So let's go through first his Azharos, which are a little bit more, I wouldn't say mundane, but they're a little bit more pedestrian, less mystical, in terms of the advice that he gives. So let's start here. Aleph, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, Leman Tia Yiraso Al Peneichem, Levelti Techatau. The first things first, fear God, in order that his fear be in front of you, in this way you won't sin. Hainu, what does this mean? He explains it. Lioslo Busha Gedola, Liyira Milfnei Aboreis Baruch Shemo. You should be embarrassed and shamed and fearful that God is watching you. V'choker kol anistaros, v'sopet zove kol amachshavos. What does Hashem do? He knows what you think. He knows what you think is hidden. Okay, so that's number one. This is kind of standard Musar ethical fare. L'kayim mash, so this is Beis. L'kayim mash amru chazal. Eizu hi parsha katana shebatorah shekol gufi haTorah tuluyim ba. What is it that is the small parsha that all other areas of Torah are dependent upon it? What is that? B'chod rachecha da'ehu. Know God in all of your ways. This is already more bestian chassidus, right? If you remember, this was the best's calling card. The Baal Shem Tov's calling card was b'chod rachecha da'ehu. You know God in all areas. The quote from the Zohar, let atar panui minei, there is no place that's empty of him. Hainu, and here again, this is chassidus, lios ha'achila v'ashtia v'hashena, whether you're eating, you're drinking, sleeping, mishkal, whether you're having sexual relations, kulam rak la'avodas habo yisbarach shemo hechrechis, right? They should all be with the intent of serving Hashem. K'moshe mavur b'shulchan aruch. But here again, the kind of intellectual side of his chassidus of, you know, linking it to the Shulchan Aruch, to the code of Jewish law. Three, hisbodedus yom echad b'shavua b'cheder miyuchad b'tanis u'tshuva u'tora l'chalik kol shavua. One day a week should be set aside for loneliness in a specific room, and you should fast, do tshuva, and study Torah in order to kind of break up your week. So the ascetic kind of thread is something that maybe the Besht would not be the biggest fan of, but there is kind of an ounce of asceticism in the Karliner. Uveyoma Tainis, on this day of Tanis, of fasting, Yelech LaMikvah, he should go to the mikvah, V'yitpol lo pachos mishnei pa'amim. You should tovel in the mikvah at least twice. Pa'am echad, one is in order to remove all impurity. Pam sheni, and the second time, lam shich alav es hakedusha, in order to call down the holiness upon him. Uveyom atainis, yizaher shelo yasiach sicha b'teila kol hayom. You shouldn't have mundane conversations the entire day. Rak ya'asok b'toras Hashem v'yiras Hashem kol hayom. Rather, the entire day you should involve yourself in Torah and in Yira. V'yizaher she'yeh l'shma u'b'dechilo rechilmo. You should do it l'shma, with the proper intent, with fear, and with caution. V'yivke b'dma'oth lifnei kono shichaper lo alavono. And you should cry real tears before God that he should forgive you. V'yizaher mi'apnia chas v'shalom ba'eis abachia ki hi ha'sakana atuma chas v'shalom. You shouldn't go to the bathroom because that's dangerous while you're crying. And the night before you fast, lo yochal basar, don't eat meat. Lo yistakel al anashim hein yisraelios hein achrios afilu abig dev tivonim v'almita mutzah shelhem v'akol davar hamevi l'day hirachas v'sham. You shouldn't stare at women, even just their colored clothing. Haynu b'sha'ah shechayev v'uf niskakim zel azeh. And so too, you shouldn't stare at animals when they are having sexual relations. Upshita, and for sure, obvious, shalol daber im nashim rak l'tzoruch gadol. You should only speak to women for purpose. V'afim ishto nida, yizaher shalol daber b'chomad d'efshar. And so too, when your wife is menstruating, she's usher to you. You got to be careful what you say to her. V'gam shalol istakel, don't look at her. Ki gam mizeh ba machshava zara. Because what's that going to lead to? It's going to lead to negative thoughts during bitvilaso while you daven. Va'af be'is tzrachav lo te kavanaso le'malos tavato chas v'shalom rak l'kayim mitzvas boro. And even when you are fulfilling your need, and here he's referring to sexual relations, so you should have in mind that it should be for serving God. V'yigam yizaher shalo yistakel ba'os bris kodesh. Don't stare at one's own private parts. Vafa beis amerchat, even when you're washing, yizaher shalo yistakel al anashim arumim, you shouldn't stare at other men. V'yir be'betorah b'chol yecholto, you should study Torah, v'imeh shar sh'yitbodet atzmo b'chol yom, and if you have an opportunity to do his bodedus, to be alone every day, af b'lo ta'anis, even without fasting, yir el esbodet lo pochot misha'a, should set aside an hour every day for his bodedus, v'yisvadeh lifnei baro, and you should confess your sins, v'yivakesh yechaper lo, and you should beg God for forgiveness. Dalid, yishmor et ha-shabbas ke'el chasal, keep Shabbos. V'yarbe b'tzdaka b'chol yachalto, you should give lots of tzedakah. U'v'chol yom kodem ha-tvila, and ideally when should you give tzedakah? Before you daven. Likros b'chol laila kodem ha-shena, kriya shema alamita shel arizal kinidbas b'sharei tzion. Read the special kriyat shema alamita written by Rav Yitzhak Luria, the arizal. V'lo yafsi kodem ha-shena afilu ash v'lo birchas ha-mabgil. You shouldn't hang out too much thinking before you go to sleep. I don't know how you forgot. V'yitzvade v'yitzchani v'yifke lefnei abori l'os mitarech d'choshmina. And again, you should do vidoy before you go to sleep. Yizaher b'chol yom b'tikun chatzos. You should wake up in the middle of the night and cry over the temple. Tikun chatzos. Bein b'kayitz bein b'choref, summer and winter. V'lo mar mashe shayach lohem v'lo yavor. Afilu lo yelo p'nai lo mot. And you should make sure, meaning you should prioritize tikun chatzos, even if you won't have time to learn because of it. Zion. Lomar b'chol yom kama mizmorei tehilim techav achar chatzos v'lo yavor. You should say some chapters of Tehillim after chatzos, after the middle of the day. V'im efshar legomor tehilim b'chol mas sheshayach lo matov. Finish the book of Tehillim as many times as you can. Ches. Shelo daber sichas chulim eis kumo mimataso al kol panim ad shah achar tvila. At least till an don't have a ridiculous conversation. At least until an hour after you daven. Afilu imishto uvanav, even with your wife or children. Im lo beachreach gadol yireh lemait, unless there's some real need to do it, but you should try to minimize it as much as possible. V'chein sha'achas achar mincha ad achar marav al kopanim sha'achas. Right? He says so too after mincha until after marav. You should also not have those conversations. Or at least an hour like that during the day. V'chein lo yistachel chutz l'dam dalet amos ad sha'achas achar tvila. You shouldn't look outside of your own four cubits until an hour after davening. V'chein kodem. And so too, before davening, you shouldn't be looking at other outside. And so too, when you're walking, you know, keep your eye on yourself, stop looking at others. Tess. Lomar parsha sayira, uparsha sachuva biyomatanis. You should make sure you say the parsha in the Torah relating to fear of God, and the parsha of tshuva relating to tshuva, parshas nitzavim, on the day of a fast day. V'gam lachzor ze lo pachos pa'machas b'shavua. And you should say it at least once a week. V'lomar kodem kol limud v'chol mitzvah saseh. And before study or before performing any positive commandment, l'shem yichud kutcho b'richo u'shchinte k'nid bas b'shar tziyam. And so too you should say, l'shem yichud. This was a bit of a controversial statement, but Kabbalists would say it, many people still say it, that for the purposes of the unity of God. And we'll discuss that when we discuss Ka'ech Sof. Yud, yizaher she yilmod b'chol yom mishnayos, l'takin ma shepagam b'nishmaso. Every day you should learn Mishnah. Mishnah has the same letters as Nishama. Every time you sin, you affect negatively your Nishama. So that pigum, that negative effect on your Nishama, will be fixed by the study of Mishnah. V'gam yeh baki b'tanach, you should know Tanach. V'gam l'mod b'chol ma de'asha rak shiyeh l'shma. And study as much as you can, but just you should study for its own sake. The gam yomot sefer musar kaseder b'chol yom. You should make sure you study ethical works every day. B'sefer hakadosh Reb Chaim minalo taziyav lachzor gimel pamim v'lo yavur. And so too the works of, I think he's referring here to Reb Chaim Vital. Yud Aleph. Don't use God's name. V'im chas v'shalom hiskir afilu b'shogeg. If you use it God's name by accident, yikabel al atzmo techef nidoy. You should accept upon yourself what? Nidoy. Excommunication. V'yera sheyatir lo beis din shalginim al anashim. And you should have it be undone in front of a beis din. Yud beis. Lios shomer mitzvah. You need to keep mitzvahs. Perush, sheyamtin kol yom mataya voli adovi kaimena. Basically, you should be looking for the opportunity, hoping for an opportunity to perform mitzvahs. Yugimo, lizaher meod migava, be careful of pride, v'kaas and anger, af l'dvar mitzvah, even when you're doing a mitzvah. U'mikoshekein machlokes, even more than that, arguments, chas v'shalom v'akvada afilu b'vnei beiso, or being overly makbid, overly strict, with those in your house. Even with those in your house. Yedalid. Yizaher lishon tamid betalas katan. You should sleep in tzitzis. V'yizaher b'imiz damein lo ona shlo lispalel b'bgadim elu. And if you have sexual relations, don't daven in the same clothing you were wearing when you had sex. V'afil lo b'cholok zeh v'kova zeh rak yilbash cholok acher. Wear something else. Yizaher l'chabeiri na'in. Aniyim. You should honor poor people. U'biprat la'ani hagun b'chol Shabbat, im efshar. And you should try to honor a poor person every Shabbat if possible. U'v'chos b'chol Yom Tov b'chol ma'asha efshar, or at least before Yom Tov. V'ashem atov v'emitim l'arayim v'tov yichaper ba'adinu v'ad kol Yisrael. Amen. Okay? And Hashem should forgive us. So we see here, number one is, you saw there was a little bit more of an ascetic quality to the Karliner's Chassidus, and let's say we've seen in other ones, right? He's encouraging intermittent fasting. He's very limiting. There's kind of an ethical quality to his Chassidus, as opposed to other forms of Chassidus, which weren't necessarily not that they wanted you to be an unethical, but ethics wasn't their mainstay. But you see here, he gives kind of a list on how to live one's day. We're going to see other rabbanim have left over those types of lists with a little bit of a different perspective. We'll see one of the famous ones is the Noam Elimelech, Rav Elimelech of Lishansk, but when we get to him, we'll deal with him.
Where is this coming from?
This was his tzava. This was his last will and testament. It was published in a collection of Hasidic of tzavaot. Yeah. A lot of his Torah, you'll find people quoting him here and there, but nothing like these are the works of Rav Aharon of Karlin. Unlike we're going to see from others that, you know, there's kind of a central work that has all of their Torah in it. It's kind of quoted intermittently in other Sfarim.
What did he mean, or what do you think he meant by honoring a poor person?
I think he meant to invite him for a meal and to treat him with respect and to, you know, embrace him in that sense. That's what I think he's referring to. We're going to get to Kayach Sof, which Kayach Sof is built on the Kabbalistic conception of Shabbos. The Kabbalistic conception of Shabbos, which goes back to the Zohar. So let's just remind ourselves. We've discussed it a little bit, but let's just remind ourselves about the Sfirot. The Sfirot are 10 aspects of God by which he relates to the universe, right? God is this infinite light, which is refracted through these 10 aspects. The lower three are the ones that we experience most intimately. The lowest of them is Malchus, or Shechina, which is the directness of our relationship to God. The more that those spheros become unified, the closer we are to God, right? They're kind of separating, but the more they become unified, the closer we are to God. Or, to put it in other metaphorical terms that are used, God's light is able to pour down into the universe when the Sfirot are aligned. Okay? So that's another aspect of it. Okay, that is kind of classicalist Lurianic Zohar Kabbalah. Okay? In very, very broad strokes. What is Hasidus adding to this? Hasidus is adding this notion of Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, that a human being has inside of him Chelek Eloka Mima'al, whatever that means, a portion of the Holy One exists inside of us. So if you were to put the two together, so the proper aligning and the unification of the Sfiros together would allow your neshama to now be more directly connected to its source, which is the Ein Sof light of God. And that can be a very, very powerful experience. We all know on Shabbos also that there is something called a neshama yesera, which Hasidus might be understanding that neshama yesera as kind of that direct connection between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay?
That's one connection.
It's getting heavy out there, right?
Exclamation point.
All right. So let's see this. There's a number, for those of you who have a few moments to look on YouTube or whatever before Shabbos, there's a number of really beautiful tunes for Kayach Sof.
They all actually one tune with different variations.
All right. All right. Okay. So, Kayach Sof Noam Shabbos. Okay. I, Achsof, Kisufim, are intense spiritual desires. Okay. So, Kayach Sof, I desire Yud and He, which is a reference to the Sfirot. Noam Shabbos. So, what is Noam Shabbos? So, here you have to be conversant in the Zohar, which I am not, but I have a good a good bencher with footnotes. This is based on the Zohar. The Zohar says that this is Olam Haba. So what am I seeking out? I'm seeking out the experience of the world to come. That experience of the world to come happens with unification. Hamas emes ha'umis achedes b'skula secha. That unity is a skula. It's something separate. Mishoch noam yirasecha l'am mevakshei ritzonecha. what do we want to do? We want to pull Meshoch Noam Yirasecha to the nation that wants it. So remember what I said, how you have the Chelek Elokam Imal inside of you, right? So Am, the nation that desires your desire, they want that experience, they want that connected experience, which can only happen when Kachem Biktushas Shabbas Hamisachedes Besorasecha. Right? Only when there is that Kedusha Shabbos that is Misachedes, that becomes unified. So here, this is probably a reference to what's the unity of Shabbos. We say it in Lecha Dodi, also a Kabbalistic text. Shamor v'zachor b'dibur echadem nu'ru. That God was able to say Shamor and Zachor in one word, right? What a human being is unable to do. That experience of being able to say Shamor and Zachor together for the Kabbalist becomes a statement about the unity that exists up on high. A unity, right, the L'shem Yichud Kutcha Barichu, right, that unity of the Sfirot, right, is symbolized by Shamor and Zachor, by that unity that exists there. P'tach lahem noram v'ratzon liftoach l'ashei ratzonecha. What do we want? We want there to be an opening, psach, right, in order for the light to shine down, remember, to have that singular connection. Hayahuve, one who was and who is, Shmor Shomrei Matzapim Shabbas Kotchecha, Ka'ayal Tarog Alafike Mayim, Kein Nafsham Tarog Kabel Noam Shabbas Hamis Achedis Vishin Kotchecha, Hatzel me'acharei lefros min haShabbos levitiyas sagur mehem. What do we want? We are like ayal, like a deer or an ibex desiring water. That's the way the Jewish soul seeks out the oneness with God's name. Okay. Shisha yamim mekablim k'dusha mishabbas kotshecha v'tarli bam be'emes u'v'emunah l'avdecha. What do we want? We want 6 days. We sit here desiring it, and now we need your help. Taher libam, basically, remove the physical impediments to that unity, and bring down the light. Interestingly, a new theme comes up in this third paragraph, that of compassion. The right side of the spherotic realm symbolizes compassion, but the notion is that the more unified the spherotic realm becomes, the more compassion that can be brought down. What does it refer to here? Yurachamecha mitgolelim alam kotshecha lashkot simei chasadecha, in order to give water to those who want your chesed, minar hayotzei mi'eden, again a reference to Olam Haba, to the world to come. La'ater Yisrael b'tiferet ha'mefarim otcha idei shabbat kotshecha, kol shisha yamim la'nchilam nachalat Yaakov b'chiratecha. The reference to Tiferet. Tiferet is the center of the Sfirot. So what you're having here is, as you get farther and farther in, there's more of a sense of unity, because you're climbing up, right? What's happening is the Sfirot are, I don't know if you want to call it climbing up, or the Sfirot are collapsing in to oneness. Hashabbat Noam in Hashamot. Shabbos is the Noam of the Nishamot, of all the souls. Vashvi Oneg Haruchot Ve'iden HaNishamot Lihidaten Be'ahavatecha V'yiratecha Ahava in Yira. Ahava, love, one side of the Sfirot. Yira, the other side, fear, the other side of the Sfirot. What happens to those two sides? Again, so if paragraph 4 was about it collapsing in, north and south collapsing on one another, paragraph 3. Paragraph 4 is about east and west collapsing into one another until you have the single unity. If you look at the acrostics, so it's Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, right? Hashem's name. And it also says Aharon somewhere else, which I couldn't find before. But that's one of the claims is that it couldn't be him is because he would never have put his name, so boldly have put his name into this engine.
Wikipedia says that he did it.
Yeah, I said, well, if it's in Wikipedia, so then it must be true, right? So this is Kayach Sof. This is Kayach Sof. So again, it's about that unity. I don't know if I've made your Lecha Dodi more or less meaningful, but those same themes of unity are also repeated in Lecha Dodi. And again, this is one of the aspects of Chassidut, which was to bring what the mystical elitism that had once only been for a select few, but to bring it to the masses. You know, that now they're going to sing this every week, and that their own experiences of Shabbos, which may be more simplistic ones, but are nonetheless ones which have the power to affect and to be affected by the unity of the Sfiratic realm. Okay, so that is Yaar Sof. There's, I could sit all day and find every Kabbalistic reference and look for every Zohar behind every word, but suffice it to say, what you're seeing here is a straight-up mystical text that Rav Aharon of Karlin wrote for his students, okay, or for his chassidim. Okay. Questions, comments.
Where are the communities that still exist?
So in Borough Park, there's a Stalliner community, and in there's Stalin Karlin, and in Israel, there's also a Stalin Karlin. I don't believe they've ever had
there's
another.
A few other places.
Yeah, I don't believe they've ever had another Rebbe.
Oh, they have?
Oh, they have? Okay.
So I'm a Karlin.
Oh, look at that. Okay. Look at
I
that.
Can give you a little
Oh, so do you want to you want to sing Kayach Sof for us?
I sing it from time to time.
Oh, so share something with us.
I'll share with you a few stories. So,
okay.
So my grandfather and my father and his brothers would sing it together every time they got together.
Okay.
We as kids, we would listen, and they would go like that, and you know, and shockle hard and sing it, and it's a very uplifting kind of nigun.
Yeah.
And now, when I get together with my brother, we sing it.
Okay.
And I didn't sing it for a long time, and then Dorit and I went to a kosher hotel in Switzerland, which promised to have a minyan. So we went there for Shabbat. And, you know, everyone sitting at the table and eating. And then they brought a group of kids in a Rebbe from Zurich because they didn't have a minyan. And they're sitting around and singing
Kayach Sof. Okay.
It was a very, very peculiar and very uplifting event.
Absolutely.
Because I haven't heard it for many, many, many years before that.
Wow.
Also, in Yerushalayim, near Kikar HaShabbat, they have their big, now it's a very big synagogue.
Okay.
And but before they built that one, they have a smaller one. I went there with my grandfather and father. So first of all, they scream and shout. It's unbelievable screaming. But second, which is nice, all the Kohanim, and we are Kohanim, we're sitting in the first row, Levi'im in the second row, and everyone else. Actually not sitting, because they're standing the whole davening.
Wow.
But you're sitting like in the front. And I'm a kid like that, I don't know why they put me in the front, but anyway, that was the story. Then later on, my father told us, that's after my grandfather died, that he has 100 letters from the Rebbe. He was a good friend of my grandfather. So there was a, so I, before came here, I printed one of them. Just
all right.
So this is Avraham Elimelech Perlov.
Okay.
That's Perlov is the name. And he was a Rebbe in Yerushalayim. And then he went to Karlin to be the Rebbe there.
Oh, okay.
And then my grandfather was very friendly because there are letters going back and forth between them. my grandmother got very sick. She had cancer, and my grandfather issued a British passport for both of them to go to the Rebbe to get a blessing. And then the moment they finished packing, the Rebbe showed up in Yerushalayim. Mm. And they gave them a blessing and everything. And then my grandfather traveled with him to Haifa for the boat to go back. And he tried to convince him not to go because it was already known. It was like 1940 or so. I knew that in Europe it's very, but he said he has to go for the Hasidim. But then he gave him his cane, you know, the Rebbe cane with the silver top.
Okay.
Covered. He told him, hold this, it's safer with you than with me. Mm. And I have pictures of that, of that cane. I mean, this is...
So you still have the cane?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, my cousin has the cane.
Wow.
That's the Rebbe's Avraham Elimelech Perlov cane.
Okay.
So this is the cane. But it looks like... So the top is silver. Real silver. So every Sukkot,
yeah,
was Carlina would come to my father, try to convince him to give him the letters.
Oh, really?
My father made copies and gave them. He said, do you have copies? This is for my father. You know, the letter. Every Sukkot, it was like a tradition. Go come to him and convince him. And maybe I did something my father didn't like, but we decided, my brother and I, to give them the originals, and we kept the copies.
Oh, wow.
So the Rebbe, the current Rebbe, his name is Rebbe Shochet, I think.
Okay.
He's in Yerushalayim. His brother is also a Rebbe of another community there, and his other brother, I think, is in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And he said, come, and Sukkot is their main event. They do Simchat Bet HaShoeva, pour water, they're dancing with all of that. So they said, you have to come, and we'll give you the new Sidur. They published just recently a Sidur that they claim is coming from one of the Rebbe's of Karlin, so we might go.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I want to say one more thing, and I forgot. Anyway, that's the story.
All right.